we shall be continuing from 6 to 11. 6 to 11. Glory to God. I just want to give you some time to read the passage to yourself. Just read the passage to yourself, please. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. For those of you without your Bibles, there are Bibles in front of you, in the seats in front of you. Glory to God. Shall we please pray? Shall we please pray? Father, Lord God, in Jesus' name, we thank you this morning. We bless you and we exalt your holy name. Thank you for your presence in our life. Thank you for your spirit that dwells with us. Thank you, Lord, that today you're teaching us. We pray you will quiet our hearts. You will channel our hearts and our thoughts towards you. And Lord, I personally pray for clarity of thought and clarity of heart. And Spirit of our living God, I yield to you totally. I pray you will speak to your people today as we seek to know who you are and understand you and to live for you. We bless you, Lord God. We worship you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. And so now let's go to the passage. Verse 6 says, so let me just give a little bit background. So Jesus has died. He had been crucified and he had been buried. He had resurrected and he had lived with his disciples. And we see here, as Luke records it, writing the book of Acts, that Jesus literally stayed on this earth for another 40 days. And many people saw him. He related with his disciples. He used to vanish and appear. He vanishes and he appears. For 40 good days, he was on this earth with them. And so now it's come to time when Jesus is ready to leave this earth and to go to heaven and join his Father in heaven. And he gave certain instructions. He told his disciples not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait. I'm just going to start reading from verse 4 so that it is clear. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father. Wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Glory to God. And I have titled this whole series that I'm doing on the book of Acts, Discovering the Holy Spirit. The Acts of the Holy Spirit, Discovering the power of God at work among his people. And we've been talking about it. Last week we did see that it was important to be baptized. We did realize that the Holy Spirit was a promise from the Father for us, and also that he was special. Today we are going to continue, and if you look at your Bible in the verse 6, Jesus is now going, and his disciples ask him a question. I touched on this last week. That is he coming to restore, is he at this time coming to restore Israel? And he told them it wasn't time for them to be paying attention to these things. Rather, he drew their attention to something else. Something else in the verse 7. He says, I'm speaking on Jesus' final teaching and promise to his disciples. He says, and he said to them, the passage says, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world. It is not for you to know. It is not for you to know. And we did talk about this, that it made sense for Jesus not to have told them, I'll come back in 2,000 years time or 40,000 years, or what he was actually going to do. Because you can imagine, even up to, there was a time when it was going to be the millennium. Some people said the end time was here. And people did all sorts of crazy things. Imagine if Jesus had said, I will be coming back in 2,000 something something years. Everybody will be looking forward to that day. But Jesus draws their attention to something else. And he reminds them, saying, the Father in his own authority. It wasn't for you. The Father in his own authority. Many of us want to know what God is, who God is. We need a lot of things from God. We want God to do this for us. But the Father has his own authority. You see, at this time, Jesus has been resurrected from the dead. He is now the glorified Jesus. And again, you see Jesus humbling himself to the Father. He says, it is in the Father's own authority. He could have taken things into his own hands and said what he wanted to say. And no, but he told them, the Father has his own times. Again, humility. Jesus even being glorified as the Son of God. Dead and resurrected, his name lifted above all names, yet still yields to the Father's will, submits to his Father's will. And we as children of God need to learn from Jesus to yield and surrender and submit to the Father's will. In the Father's own authority, all power and authority belongs to the Father, and he gives it to whom he desires. And so when someone has something you don't have, don't covet. That's why covetousness is sinful. When you do that, you are saying God is not wise. You are saying you are better than somebody else. God should have favored you over somebody. In the Father's own authority, children of God. God has his own time and he has his way of doing things. And we have to come into alignment with God's will and his authority. And most of the time, we talk about, especially Pentecostals, We talk today. We are coming to really look at the power of the Spirit of the Living God with us. We try to manufacture the power, but it is God's authority. Jesus could have manufactured something then, but he still yielded to the Father's authority. He drew the children, the disciples' attention to the Father's authority. Me and you, our focus has to be on the Father's authority. That which God has set in place, we need to allow it to be. We need to allow it to be. And so he goes ahead and he says, but you shall receive power. If the power of God is coming to me and you, we really need to yield to his authority. He says, you shall receive power. You see, at this time as he's speaking, the disciples were still looking at the power as in the kind of power that Nero had upon them, that their kings had upon them, where you see power in the form of a military authority. Like today we say that USA is a very powerful nation. Why? Because we have a strong army. We have all the nuclears. We have all the dangerous weapons. We have all the great military soldiers. These days when we talk of power, we start to talk about the physical power. We talk about military strength. We talk about, and it was the same way when they were talking to Jesus at this moment, are you coming to restore Israel and all that? They were looking at it from their carnal point of view. But this power that Jesus was talking about was a different and a unique kind of power. A unique authority. A unique authority. And Jesus says, this power that is coming to you comes as the Spirit of God comes upon you. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So the Holy Spirit, what at all is the Holy Spirit? There are 21 things a child of God needs to know about the Holy Spirit. And I'm not going to tell you all today. If I tell you all today, you don't have to come to church again. I'm joking. We need to come together for the gathering of the saints, right? So we will always love to be around. I will share three major with you today. And as we go through the book of Acts, and as we are studying on the Holy Spirit and discovering him through the book of Acts, him being present among the people of God and using the people of God, you will find that we will come across these 21 things that every child of God needs to know about the Holy Spirit. If you want to read more on this, you can get R.T. Kendall's book on holy fire. He talks on these 21 things. He teaches on these 21 things. And some of the knowledge I have here is from that book as well. The first one, everyone has to know. I think it is easy for us to know this one. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Holy Trinity. When we say God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. And we see them, we see this ideology weaved into the whole book of into the Bible, especially in the New Testament. You see Jesus, you see the Holy Spirit, and you see Jesus referring to the Father. So you see all that there. The Holy Spirit is the aspect of God that lives and empowers and inspires humans. The Holy Spirit has a work among those who are not yet believers, but also a great and significant work in those who believe him. The Holy Spirit is at work in our world. He works, he's working on unbelievers, always trying to draw them to Christ. But he is even at more influential position, using us as children of God to work in the life of the believer. He is at work in the life of the believer. He is God that lives in us. The next one is the Holy Spirit is God. When Ananias lied to the Spirit, he lied to God. Acts chapter 5, 4. We will study more on that when we get there. The Lord is the Spirit. Let's open our Bibles, please. If you have your Bible, open to 2 Corinthians 3, 17. Many people do not realize that the Holy Spirit is actually God, the presence of God, and so he is God. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so you see right from Scripture that the Holy Spirit is the Lord. Another, the third one about the Holy Spirit that every Christian needs to know is the Holy Spirit is a person. I have heard so many people call the Holy Spirit it. We refer to him as a non-living organism, it. When it comes upon you, and sometimes when I hear people speak like this, I ask myself, is it that they don't know about the Holy Spirit, or they've been misled, or they themselves haven't searched the scriptures about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is a person. Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit as he. Let's look at John 16:8. John 16:8 says, and I will take you back a little bit. So in the book of John, Jesus starts to now introduce the Holy Spirit to his followers, to his disciples. And he says, when he, referring to the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. When he comes, the Holy Spirit, Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as he. He gives the Holy Spirit a person, a personality, a presence, a person's presence. And again, taking us back a little bit, let's look at John chapter 14, 16. Jesus also introduced the Holy Spirit as another. I want to take some time to teach on this, because I realize that in among believers, we really do not realize that the Holy Spirit is a person, and we will need to relate with him. That's why most of us somehow at some time were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and now we are far away from when we were baptized, because we haven't developed that relationship with him. Yeah? So it's very important that the child of God understands these things. Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. You see, the word that is translated as advocate here, the Greek word is parakletos. Parakletos has a lot of meaning. Another meaning for it is helper. Another meaning for it is anything that replaces that word of being a helper, advocate, encourager, strengthener, peace, all those things, that word is used to describe it, because the parakletos is used to this. It's a word that touches on a vast area of things. And when you look at Jesus, he was that kind of person. He came to this earth to be a helper. He came to this earth to be a healer. He came to this help, and to them, that was what Jesus was. And now Jesus starts to talk about him living. The ultimate breakdown and interpretation of the word parakletos is one that comes alongside. One that comes alongside. So they knew Jesus as the healer, their teacher, their master. You think of all the names that they gave to Jesus. And then Jesus says, I must go. And when I go, I will ask the Father, who is going to send you another one that will come alongside you. So he had to go for that person to come. That what? Helper, that encourager, that whatever you want to put, that teacher, that strengthener, that advisor. And so that Holy Spirit then now becomes a person that comes alongside you to do what? Give you power. To give you power to be, and Jesus says, a witness to me. He will give you power to be witnesses to me. He will give you power. Please don't refer to the Holy Spirit as a thing. The Holy Spirit is a person. He has a presence. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. The Holy Spirit can be blasphemed. The Holy Spirit also can be quenched. That's why the word of God says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. Do not quench him. And he says, you shall be my witnesses. You see, for any believer, for any Christian to really be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to be baptized with or in the Holy Spirit. We have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Notice here, he says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall be witnesses of me. The word shall be is very important. It tells us that it is not if, it is not a case of desire. No. That is what the Holy Spirit will come and be in your life. One that will give you the power to be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. We have to become witnesses. And if we are going to be a good witness, then we need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to be in full control and authority over us, and the strength and the power that comes from the Holy Spirit. That is why Jesus told his disciples, I have taught you a lot for 3 years. He had been with them. He had taught them for 3 years. He had spoken into their life. He had prayed over them. He had done. Now he was leaving, and he tells them, go and wait until the Holy Spirit comes. When he comes upon you, you will receive power. You will receive authority to be my witnesses. So for all those 3 years, Jesus is still saying, you are not ready. You see, we cannot take the best evangelistic programs. We cannot go to the bed. Over here, since I came, I've been encouraging us to come to evening teachings. We can study. We can have programs. We can have activities. We can go to seminary and train to become the best pastor. I went to the seminary. I believe in being trained in doing things rightly. But you will not be ready if you go to seminary, if you become the best person understanding and reading all the books in this world, and yet still you are not baptized with the Holy Spirit. You are not ready. Many Christians are not ready to be witnesses. Many of us, as children of God, are not ready to be witnesses. And I am an example of this. When I gave my life to Jesus Christ and I wasn't baptized in the Holy Spirit, I was struggling with my Christian life. I used to wake up, I was a very committed young man. Oh, I turned around, honestly. I gave my life to Jesus. My elder brother-in-law, who was teaching me, I was living in his house. He raised me in understanding the Bible, taught me how to do my devotions and stuff like that. I would wake up early in the morning, 4 a.m., do my devotion, everything before I go to work and all that. I was doing all that, but yet still, I couldn't understand scripture like I was supposed to. I would be saying to myself, why am I struggling? I'm doing all these things. I was always at church. I would be the first to get there. I would be the one doing everything, but yet still, until one night, we were at church and a servant of God came ministering. And while he was ministering, we were praying. The Spirit of God fell upon me, came upon me. I started prophesying, and come and see me. I was all over the place. They carried me home, threw me in my room, left me, locked me. I was seeing visions, things happening to me. Since then, I have become this young pastor you know. The Spirit of God transformed my life totally. And he can transform your life. You see, the danger here is that we have been taught not to wait. But Jesus is saying you have to wait. Jesus is saying you have to wait. If you really want to be Jesus' disciple, if you really want to make a living example on this earth, if you want to start winning souls, if you want to start ministering Jesus and people accepting the word of God and seeing Jesus moving in your life, you need to wait to be baptized. And if you were baptized and you are not that person anymore, there's nothing wrong with you going back and waiting. Saying to the Spirit of God, I need you afresh. I need you afresh. We need to wait. We need to wait. My seminary training is good, but I needed to be touched by the Spirit of the living God. I needed to be touched. Many are in the church today who are not touched. And look at what he told them. He says, in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world. You see, as we study the book of Acts, you will find that the book of Acts is broken in three ways. Chapter 1 all the way to chapter 7 describes the gospel in Jerusalem. Also, chapter 8 to 12 describes the gospel in Judea and Samaria. And then also, when you look at chapter 13 all the way to chapter 28, it describes the work to the ends of the world. He says, wait. You can imagine Jesus when he was telling them to wait and that they should start the work in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was where Jesus was killed. And now he's telling his disciples, start being my witnesses in Jerusalem where I was killed. Can you imagine this? Imagine if you are a disciple and Jesus is saying this to you. I was killed here in this town. Wait and start the ministry from here. What? We can laugh about these things. But these days we see USA the way it's going. We see our local communities where it's going. You see, he said Jerusalem. These people were people who saw Jerusalem as where they came from. And he said, start from your hometown, your village, your homes. Start right from here. Me and you, wherever we live, wherever we come from, Jesus is saying, start the ministry from here. But before you start, you have to be baptized. You have to be immersed. The Holy Spirit has to come upon you. He has to give you that power and the authority. And so, men of God here, you have to start from your home. Women, start from your home, your neighbors. Your workplace that you go, everywhere that you go is your sphere of influence that you can start witnessing at. Jerusalem. Our communities, as we know, is being torn apart. Some people don't even want to hear about Jesus. They see you coming, they know you're a Christian, you're going to start talking about it. They cross the street and go to the other side. But yet still, Jesus is saying, start from home. Start from home. You might have family members who don't even respect you, who don't care about you. But Jesus is saying, start from home. Start from home. Judea rejected his ministry. When you remember when they went to Judea? Isn't this the Jesus? They didn't even want to know. Jesus couldn't perform many miracles in Judea. And now Jesus is saying to them, and Judea, where my ministry was rejected, anywhere where God's message has been rejected, any land where God's ministry has been rejected, he's asking us to continue the work from there. Carney may have rejected the gospel, but we should start here. Carney may have rejected it, but we should start here. Your Judea can even be your own family. I know a man of God. He started calling his family members to come together on Sunday evenings to pray. First week, second week, the third week, somebody asked a question, what? Is he going to start a church with us? They didn't respect the anointing that was on the man of God. And this same family has so many problems and issues. But do not give up on Judea. Again, he says Samaria. Samaria was regarded as a wasteland of impure half-breeds. Samarians were seen as people who were kind of like when Jews went to sleep around with other people, they started giving birth to some kids, and the Jews didn't respect them. And so the land of Samaria was seen of people who were of all kinds of people. They didn't respect them. Maybe people don't respect your tribe. People don't respect your race. People don't respect who you are as a person. That shouldn't stop you. But you see, Jesus is saying when the power is upon you, now you will start making sense. You will make meaning. You will bring transformation to these people who need you more than they think. Children of God, are you intentionally waiting to be baptized? Do you wake up every morning thinking of the Holy Spirit's presence in your life? How do you see your relationship with God? It can be better. You can make a change. Do you really see yourself as a witness for Jesus? Are you trying to be a witness for Jesus and you are not able to do it? Obviously, you can't do it in your own might. That's why Jesus said, go and wait until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Then you can actually go and be my witness. If you are trying to be a witness of Jesus in your own might, then you are not trying to witness Jesus. Because witnessing Jesus shouldn't be in our own strength. It has to be in the strength of the power of the Spirit of our living God. So today, ending my sermon, I want to ask us a question. Are you waiting? Are you intentionally waiting? If you are not, start to make decisions that allow you to wait intentionally. Are you relating with him? I remember when I first met my wife, Jumi, I was so excited. I have met this, oh man, this girl. I always wanted to speak to her. Every morning when I wake up, I start looking at the time. Is it 9 a.m. yet? Let me call Jumi. And then at night, she told me her schedule. She was doing her master's when I met her. And so her last study when she was on campus, roughly by 8:30, she's done. So by 9 p.m., she's at home. I'll be like, is it 9 p.m. yet? Is it 9? I'll be bouncing. Have you been in that position when you are so... all of us, when we fell in love with this girl or that boy, we were bouncers. Oh, man, I can't wait. I can't wait. You keep looking at the time every minute. That's how it has to be with our relationship with the Holy Spirit. It first started with me saying hello to Jumi. And then from the hello came to wow. And the wow came to, hey, can I take you out? And the taking out came to, hey, can I spend the rest of my life with you? And spending the rest of my life with her became having two boys. Do you see how it grew? The Holy Spirit is a person. If you give him that attention, your relationship will grow. He will strengthen you. He will empower you. He will use you to do mighty things. He will take you to greater places. I tell you, I've been to places I have never been physically before. If I'm going to go into spiritual things, oh, we won't go home. I've been to heaven. I've been to hell. And these places are places people wish they would go. I've been there. I know. That's why I don't play with my Christian life. I have seen Jesus with my own eyes. There are certain lands I've been on. I've been to Switzerland in the spiritual realms. I know how Switzerland looks like. Children of God, healing comes from the power of the living God. As we study the book of Acts, you will see how the power came upon these cowards, these human beings, and transformed them to become these great apostles for Jesus. Pray, child of God. Work on the relationship. When you wake up in the morning, I need you, Holy Spirit. I need to know more, my helper, my comforter. When you are broken, Holy Spirit, I'm hurt. When you don't know what to do, Holy Spirit, I'm confused. Your teacher, he will teach you. These days when I'm reading the Bible, I say, Holy Ghost, I need you. It won't be long. Then he will start speaking, showing me things. Let's be intentional. So let's pray. Pray in Jesus' name.